Ezekiel chapter 33, beginning at verse 1. Title of our sermon tonight is Watch Out. Watch Out. And again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, speak to the children of thy people and say unto them, when I bring the sword upon a land, if the people of the land take a man of their coasts and set him for their watchman, if when he seeth the sword come upon the land, he blow the trumpet and warn the people, then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet and taketh not warning, if the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be upon his head. He heard the sound of the trumpet and took not warning, his blood shall be upon him. But he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul. But if the watchman see the sword come, and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, if the sword come and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the words that we find here in the book of Ezekiel. An encouragement, Lord, to be a watchman, to give out the warning. And Lord, we find that there are those of us who need to be more aggressive in this area. And we ask this, Lord, in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen. Doctor of Theology James J.S. Johnson writes, one of the themes of Jude's epistle is the need to be aware of and to forewarn others about scoffers. How many of you have noticed what we have on the sign as you come in the building? It's quoted from the book of Isaiah. Woe unto them that call evil good, and woe unto them that call good evil. And that's what we have in our world today. That if you stand up for something, they're going to call you evil. We find in Romans 1:18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold or suppress the truth in unrighteousness. See, we are to realize that there are those who distort and resist God's truth. Now, we have God's truth here. But what about those who don't read the Word of God? What about those who are being taught by our liberal society, by our liberal media, by the television programs they watch and the movies they take in and the songs that are being sung on MTV and the radios? What about those who are being constantly bombarded by evil, to the point that they no longer know that it is evil, that it is wrong? Now, would you agree that this is happening in our society? Yes, it is. We know that it is, to the point that sometimes even believers struggle with the truth because they don't want to look as if they are going against the grain. It is hard to swim upstream, isn't it? It's hard. I have noticed this, Rudy, when we have been walking along the Clinton River and those in their kayaks and those in their canoes are all going one way. Which way are they going? With the current. None of them are going upstream. And the Clinton River isn't that fast most of the time. And it's hard to go against the current. And yet Jesus went against the current. He was not politically correct. He was willing to call sin, sin. Take your Bibles and turn to the book of Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20, we'll begin at verse 27. Acts chapter 20, verse 27. And Paul says, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock, over them which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall what? grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. What is Satan's desire to happen to the Covenant Baptist Church? Close the doors. Shut it down. Also of my own selves, or excuse me, our own selves shall men arise speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. Watch out, they're out there. And the sad thing is they can be in here. They can be in here. When someone becomes disgruntled, when someone begins to get frustrated, they're under conviction, but they will fight the conviction and they try to disturb other things. You say, oh, that never happens. Well, it does happen. It does happen. 2 Peter chapter 2, if you would please. 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2, beginning at verse 12. But these as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption, and shall receive the reward of unrighteousness, as they that count it pleasure to riot in the daytime. Spots they are, and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings, while they feast with you, having eyes full of adultery, and that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls, and heart they have exercised with covetous practices, cursed children, which have forsaken the right way, and are gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness, but was rebuked for his iniquity. The dumb ass, speaking with man's voice, forbade the madness of the prophet. These are wells without water, clouds that are carried with a tempest, to whom the midst of darkness is reserved forever. For when they speak against swelling, for when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lusts of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that are clean escape from them who live in error. While they promise him liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought in bondage. Folks, we live in a society where we just simply want to make a statement. We want to, as the media, get attention. And it doesn't matter if it's right or wrong, just give me attention. Now, I'm glad that none of our people have purple hair. But do you know someone who has purple hair? Question is, why does someone have purple hair? There's only one reason. For what? For attention. Why do they have green hair? You know, the fact of the matter is, attention is what is wanted today. Why do people, some of them have 75 tattoos? Now, you've seen them, haven't you? Yeah. My wife and I were in New York at Nathaniel's birthday. We went over to a waterfall. There was a woman there in a bikini top and short cutoffs, and she had tattoos from her neck all the way down. That had to hurt. It hurt me looking. In August's Acts and Facts, there's an article that states that, quote, even bird populations must watch out for lurking hazards and airborne threats in their nesting neighborhoods and during migration stopovers. One bird is assigned the role of warning or called alarming. The rest of the flock that is foraging or otherwise occupied. In some groups, sentinel duty is rotated, while in other groups, the responsibility is sorted as a division of labor assignment, such as male birds more often serving as sentinels. This behavior is quite puzzling to evolutionists who assume that ultimately there needs to be a selfish advantage for every activity as opposed to some creatures behaving unselfishly because that what they do or are programmed to do, unquote. A century. If we live in Sterling Heights, we get the Sterling Heights Century. It's a free newspaper. Do you get some free newspaper where you live? Well, we get one. This company that puts out 19 different magazines or newspapers to different communities. But what does the word century mean? And how many of you remember when we used to have the Daily Sentinel here in the Utica area? That was a newspaper that was given out. But what does century mean? Someone that's on guard, right? Yes. Do you remember Gibson, Mike Gibson, came to church here? When he was in the army, he was in Germany. And he was put on guard to walk around the U.S. base there in Germany. He said they had a pistol and a rifle and no bullets. They did not want to have a controversy between Germany and the United States. No bullets. He thought that. He told me that. I thought, you got to be kidding me. How many of you seen the deer out here? Do you ever notice there's one watching? Almost always one's watching. They don't want you to get too close. Someone's watching. So we need watchers in our society. If you would, the book of 2 Timothy. The Word of God, may I say this, watches. It watches. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's watching out for what? For the best in us, right? Notice what it says. And is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. I'm going to say the Bible is a watcher because it wants us to know what's right. Number two, parents and grandparents. 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Parents. Paul is writing to Timothy and he says in verse 5, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. Parents, it is our job. Grandparents, it is our responsibility. What is today? Grandparents' Day. How many of you knew that? Very good. Grandparents' Day. A couple of my granddaughters have sent texts saying, Happy Grandpa Day, Grandparents' Day. Yes, that's good. No, it's not just another season for the Detroit Lions. I do understand that they lost. Oh, well. There's only 15 more Sundays they put up with this. 16, I guess. There's a bye week, I presume, somewhere along in there. Parents, grandparents, are you watchers? Are you? Shouldn't you be concerned about your kids and grandkids? Because after all, they are just what? Kids. Kids. Number three, each of us. Each of us, take your Bibles, Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3. Each of us. Hebrews 3:13. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. But exhort one another daily. The Proverbs say that iron sharpens iron. How easy is it to tell someone that they need to change? How easy is it to tell someone that they're going in the wrong direction? It's not very easy, is it? but we are to exhort one another. If you would, the book of Hebrews chapter 10, well-known verse, verse 25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. And so much the more as you see the day approaching, encouraging one another to remain faithful. You think it's easy to stand up behind a pulpit and tell people that they need to change? Tell you what, I wish sometimes it was you. I'd be nice and polite to you. Yes, but exhorting one another. Romans chapter 12, if you would please. Romans chapter 12. We'll begin reading at verse 8. Romans chapter 12, verse 8. Or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things that condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. We need to watch out for one another. Care for one another. The book of Titus, if you would, please. Titus chapter 1, verse 9. Titus 1, 9. The word of God, parents and grandparents, and each of us. Titus chapter 1, verse 9. Holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. We need to care for one another, to love one another, to be there during the difficult times. Chapter 2, verse 7. In all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, etc. But thyself a pattern of what? Good works. We are to be an example one to another. I find that the best way to learn something is to watch other people. Watch them. See how they do it. See if they're doing it the right way. See if there's a better way. But watch. Watch. So there's watchers, the Word of God, parents and grandparents, each of us. How about pastors? Yes? Yes, pastors. Chapter 2, verse 15. These things speak, Paul writing to Titus, and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. Yes, a pastor should be one who is willing to step out and to tell others what is needed. Hebrews chapter 13, if you would, please. Hebrews chapter 13. If I were to ask you, is it easy to be a pastor? Most of you will never understand the burden and the grief that we feel, especially when we see people drifting away in the wrong direction. When we see people who, because they don't want to offend a family member, stop coming to church. When you see people who become discouraged because things aren't going the way they should want them to go, and they get upset. I've seen people leave the church because their child has died or a parent has died and blame God. And it creates a burden, creates a time of hardship for the pastor. But notice what it says in verse 17. Obey them which have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Most people believe that the Apostle Paul wrote the book of Hebrews. And what he is telling those that are reading it now is that there are those who are watching for your soul who have to give an account. And I'll be honest with you, there are times that I tell Donna, it just is too much of a struggle. That it is hard to do this. Because it should be with joy. And it's not always with joy. It isn't. But many times it's with grief. But, that being said, the pastor has a job to do. That is to warn. That is to exhort, to encourage, because that's what I have to do. What you have to do is pray for me. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 27. Who watches for us? How about our Savior? How about our Savior? Chapter 7, verse 25. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. What is intercession? Prayer? Requests? Our Lord is watching over us. He desired the Heavenly Father to keep us from the evil. That was in the true Lord's Prayer. And he prays, saying, keep them from the evil. Who is the evil? Satan, the demons, the unsaved society in which we live. Folks, we cannot expect CBS and CNN and MTV to care about the spiritual condition of society. We cannot expect our liberal media to take care of us. Even our politicians, who all tell the truth, to take care of us. But our Lord and Savior makes intercession on our behalf, because he's watching. How about the Holy Spirit? If you would, Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 and verse 26. Romans chapter 8, 26. Likewise, the Spirit also maketh our infirmities, helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with what? Groanings, which cannot be uttered. Man, I want to walk around, Donna. You're not going to follow me if I go, so I'll stay here. We're told in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 that we are not to grieve the Spirit. But many times our actions, our attitudes, grieve him. And yet he sees our infirmities, and he utters intercession for us with groanings. Can I say this? I've talked to parents who have groaned over their children. I've been in the home when a mother or dad said, "What have I done wrong? What could I have done differently?" As they've seen their children drift away from what is right. I've seen many a person grieve over the fact that a believer has fallen into sin. And folks, it's hard. Because if you've been in church for any length of time, you've seen someone you like drift away. And sometimes it's maybe because we didn't say something. We should have said something. Maybe we should have said, hey, I see that you're drifting in the wrong direction. Sometimes as husbands, as wives, as mothers, as fathers, we need to say something. But we need to be watchers, and we don't have time to go with this thought, but more than watchers. We need to be prayer warriors, and we need to take that step sometimes of confrontation and say to them, what you are doing is wrong. And it's something that we need to seriously consider. Shall we close in prayer? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the love and mercy that you give us. And Lord, tonight as we come together for this invitation time, Lord, we just ask that the Spirit would move. And Lord, help us in our daily walks. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen.